I met Charles about 6.5 years ago. And when I first came here, there were a number of people on staff, and God gave me a picture for each one of those staff members. I hadn't spent any time with them, so I didn't know if it was accurate or not. But in that meeting, and the Lord hasn't given me any other pictures since that time regarding staff, but he did that time. And when I looked at Charles, that staff meeting, I saw a picture of a circus tent. That was the picture that came to my mind. I'm not suggesting that he's a clown, okay? But I am suggesting that when I saw that picture, I saw life. I remember going to the circus as a little boy. A lot of joy, a lot of laughter, a lot of fun. And in the past 6.5 years of knowing him, at even times where I've been discouraged and depressed, I would come around him and my countenance would be uplifted. Nehemiah says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." And this man is a man full of God's Spirit, full of his joy, his peace, and his love. I feel as though I'm a better person because I have been connected with him. And many of you, I could say the same thing. I've grown because I'm connected with you. But it's my joy. I've been twisting his arm for two or three years now. Actually, how long was it that you left? 4 years ago? For 4 years, I've been twisting his arm to come and speak. And this is the right time for him to do that. We are in a series called Battling Giants. And we've talked about some of the mountains that really get in our way, some of the giants that have to be dealt with. And he's going to talk to us about the giant of shame today. And I believe, I know from the first service, God spoke directly to us. So I ask you to open your heart and open your ears to hear what God says to us. You're going to receive a different personality than mine or Pastor Andrew or Pastor Jeff. And it's not the personality. It's God speaking to us through a variety of people. Yes, and I don't want you to miss what God has to say to us about this giant called shame. I love you, brother, and I'm so glad you can share with us. And thanks for letting me twist your arm because you're bigger than me and you didn't have to let me. So.
Thank you. Amen. Can we say amen? Let me get my Bible here. Well, I've discovered in this church there are a lot of men that I'm much bigger than, but they have this ability to put fear in me. Pastor Tim put some fear in me the last time, and Elder Buzz Faleka. He puts fear in me. Especially if he give you those buzz eyes. I don't know if you ever got those before. One time, Elder Buzz and beloved Sister Dee, they came over to the house to counsel us. They've been such a refuge and a rock for us. And I mumbled something, and he didn't quite hear me. And that little man from Ethiopia, he grabbed his, he said, "What did you say, Pastor Charles?" I said, "Whoa." He ready to jump right in my chest. You remember that, Elder Buzz? Yeah, I remember that. I jumped back, boy, I'm telling you. Amen. Are you ready for the word of God this morning? I was telling my wife I was feeling kind of nervous. It's been 4 years since I've been actually here to minister publicly. But I thank God for the opportunity this morning. Let us go to the throne of grace. I want to thank you for your love for me and for us and for our family. And just thank you. The love of God is in this place. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you and praise you for your goodness and for your mercy. We ask, oh God, that the Holy Spirit would be present to speak to the hearts of your people. Only you can do that. And so we just thank you and we praise you once again for your presence in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Pastor Tim has embarked upon a wonderful series of dealing with giants, and I will be dealing with the giant of shame. The giant of shame. This giant of shame is pervasive in the world we live in. We see it doing tremendous damage in the church world, the entertainment world, the political world, the sports world, and the domestic world. All of us at one time or another have dealt with this giant. Most of us with failure, some of us with success. I do believe that if we trust our God, we can walk in victory over guilt, shame, and condemnation. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. battling the giant of shame. I want to talk to you, first of all, we want to deal with the cause of shame. Where there's an effect in our life, there's a cause. There's a cause for shame. In the book of Genesis chapter 2, we find God creating his man Adam. And when he created Adam, he gave Adam liberties, he gave Adam commandments, and then he gave Adam a prohibition. The liberties that God gave Adam was, you can eat of all the trees of the garden. You may freely eat of all the trees of the garden. And he commanded Adam to dress and to keep the garden. But the prohibition that God gave Adam was, there's a tree in the middle of the garden. I don't want you to eat of it. Don't want you to touch it. Then he saw Adam was alone, and he put Adam to sleep, caused a deep sleep to come up on Adam, took a rib out of him, and he didn't just make woman, he fashioned woman, shaped her up. Oh, Lord, eh? Just shaped woman. Shaped her. Brought her to Adam, and Adam said, whoa, whoo, Lord. And this is what the scripture says. This is really key. This is what Adam said. He says, your name is woman. Listen, because you were taken out of the man. That's a whole other message here. But listen, from the beginning, the woman was taken out of the man. Can you say that with me? The woman was taken out of the man. So we ain't got no business trying to put woman back in man. Because he was already taken what? That's a whole nother message, Jeff. We're going to move on. Amen. We're going to move on. But the cause of shame. And then the Bible says in that same chapter, Genesis 2:25, it says that that Adam and Eve, the woman and the man, they were naked and they knew no shame. This is chapter 2. Now, if you would, turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. We're going to read something here. We're going to see a change. Genesis chapter 3. We won't read the temptations. Pastor Tim did a wonderful job on Eve being tempted, but we're going to see where this cause of shame came from. Genesis chapter 3, starting at verse 6. It says, when the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and the wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees in the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, boy, the scriptures are talking to me up here. Y'all just don't know. She gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What have you done to my man?" What have you done? Pastor Tim, this may be a comedy club to this. I don't know. But I want to give you some scenarios of shame. And then we'll tap into the cause of it. Here's one. How many of us... like David said, I was young, but now I'm old. But at one point, all of us was younger than we were. And how many of us in the house this morning, you did something in your youth that you regret, and if you could do it all over again, if you could turn back the hands of time, you would never do that again because of the shame that it caused you? How many? Amen. Sometimes shame comes upon us just by being young, youthful. David said in Psalms 25, he said in verse 2, he says, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." He says, "O my God, I trust in thee. Oh, let me not be ashamed, and let not my enemies triumph over me. Then in verse 7, he says, Lord, remember not, listen, the sins of my youth. Just being young, teenagers, you can do something that can cause shame just by being young. How many of us remember growing up and not having enough? You go to school and your clothes are raggedy and they're torn, and your shoes are raggedy and torn, and the kids begin to mock you, you know, make a song of it, from not having enough. Poverty can be the cause of some shame in our life. Poverty. I told the congregation, the first congregation, that we weren't rich. I lived over at 697 South Reddington. And my mom told me to go to the store. And I remember her pulling this book out, and she started pulling all this funny money out. It was brown, it was purple, it was blue, it was food stamps. That can be a cause of shame. Amen? Amen. Here's a scenario. Lady, she works in this office, and she comes to her job, and she's wearing shades all day long, and one of her co-workers come up and ask, why are you wearing the shades in the office? And she slightly pulls the shades down because her eye is busted. Some women, some people have experienced shame because of domestic violence. You're ashamed to talk about it. And whenever he starts to drink or whatever, he can't get things his way, he goes off and uses you as a punching bag. That can be a cause of shame. Amen. What about a young lady? This is the last scenario. Young lady, she gets asked to go to the prom with one of the most popular guys in school. He's tall, he's handsome, and he's boasting to his buddies that every time I go out with a young lady, you know, I get mine. So he takes this young lady out, and they go to the prom, and they have a nice time, and after the prom, they go to a spot, and it gets heated, and she tells him no, and so he forces himself on her and takes what does not rightfully belong to him. She experienced rape, but she's afraid to talk about it because her character may come under scrutiny. You don't know this guy. He's the most popular guy in school. He's the quarterback of our football team. So she lives with that rape, that shame, the cause of shame. With Adam and Eve, we read in Genesis chapter 3, you can write this down, the root cause of all shame in our life is sin. The root cause of shame in your life and in my life, the root cause of it is sin. Secondly, listen, shame will always seek to cover itself. When we find ourselves in shameful situations, we will always seek to cover ourselves and sometimes blame others. It's all in the text that we read. It said Adam, he put fig leaves on. God came down. Adam, where are you? Man, I was naked and I hid myself. Well, who told you that? Because in chapter 2, you and your wife, you were naked and you knew no shame. Chapter 3, you're naked and you're hiding yourself. Who told you that, Adam? And then the Bible says that God, he made clothes for them. He covered them. Amen. Somebody say, God covers me. Boy, isn't that a good thing to know? Even in our shameful situation, the Lord still have a way of what? Somebody say, he covers me. Yes, Lord, he covers me. Some types of shame that we deal with. You have public shame. Public shame. Everybody knows your business. Sports figures. Stuff has come out. Everybody knows. Political figures. Things you've been doing in the dark come out in the light. Everybody knows your business. You have public shame. And then we have private shame. That private shame is, listen, you know your shame and God knows it, but don't nobody else know about it. And what's so good about the Lord is that when we do have the private shame, whatever it is, God will talk to us privately first before it comes out publicly. Hello, somebody. Our sins have a way of finding us out. And then we have personal shame. Personal shame is something that you did to cause the shame. You can't blame nobody else. You did it. You're the man. Personal shame. And then we have what is called impersonal shame. It's something someone else, someone close to you did, but it affects you in a negative way. Maybe a friend did something that was shameful. And that's your dog. That's your friend. But you're feeling the shame that they're feeling. Four types of shame. Amen. Let's look at some characteristics. Because all of us at one point or another had to deal with this giant called shame. And there are some characteristics that come along with having shame in our life. Number one, low self-esteem. You have a way of beating up yourself. Pastor Tim mentioned that last Sunday. You beat yourself up all the time. You devalue yourself. Low self-esteem. The psalmist said in Psalms 3:3, I love this. He says, Lord, you are a shield about me. He's a shield about me. Listen, listen. He's my glory and the lifter of my head. You coming in here this morning? Listen, with shame, you know what? Preacher, I got some shame on me. Listen, God want to be your glory, and he wants to be the one that lifts your head. See, because his glory, when you look up the word glory, it deals with weight. But it's a weight that doesn't pull us down. It's a weight that lifts us up. See, that shame, listen, it'll bring on the spirit of heaviness. That's when you have to put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. But see, God wants to be our glory and the lifter of our heads so that he can break the low self-esteem. Number two, this is major. Bitterness in life. Some folks this morning, you came in here, you bitter. Don't nobody know it. God knows it, but you know it. I am bitter. I don't like him, and I most definitely don't like her. And I'm so bitter, I'm hoping she says something to me today so I can give her a piece of my mind. Why? Because I'm bitter. How many of us remember Rachel? In the book of Genesis, chapter 30, Rachel was bitter in her heart. Bitter. And the reason why she was bitter was she was married to Jacob. Well, Jacob was married to two sisters. Boy, you know that's something there. A man, I got so many problems. A man married to two sisters? One of the sisters having all the babies, and the other one can't have no baby. So you read in Genesis chapter 30, verse 1, listen, she stepped to Jacob. She said, Jacob, give me children, lest I die. And Jacob said it this way. He said, listen, the Bible says he got angry. I don't stand in the place of God. Girl, I've been trying. I'm drinking my pomegranate juice and I'm eating my fig cakes. I'm trying. It don't say this, but he was getting worn out too. He was trying. Because in that same chapter, it's in your Bible. In that same chapter, Leah, whoop, Handmaiden, whoop. Leah, whoop. Rachel, he's, I don't know, I'm trying, Rachel. Put all this pressure on me. So many problems. But the scripture says this, that God eventually listened, heard the cry of Rachel, because for a woman not to have a child in those days, it was shameful. There's something wrong with her. To not have the fruit of the womb, there was something wrong. But the Bible says God heard her cry, and she had the first child named Jacob. She said, now the Lord has taken away my reproach. How many of us know this morning, listen, it doesn't matter how long you've been dealing with the shame, God can take it away. Let me say that again. It doesn't matter how long, my sister or brother, you've been dealing with that shameful situation, God can, what? He can take it away. Amen. He can take it away. Yes, he can. He can take it away. Low self-esteem, bitterness, deep-rooted anger can be a cause. Shame can cause deep-rooted anger. I didn't just say just surface anger. I'm talking about that anger, once it gets stirred up in you, listen, you can kill somebody at the drop of a hat. Deep-rooted anger. Genesis chapter 4, how many of us remember Cain and Abel? Two brothers bring offerings to the Lord. The oldest brother, Cain, I'm just going to bring God anything. Said he brought him from the fruit of the ground. Abel brought the best of his flocks, and then the Bible says God rejected Cain's offering, and he accepted Abel's offering. And Abel, because of the shame of that, the rejection of that, all that is intertwined together, he became angry. And God asked him a probing question so that he could deal with the root cause of his anger. He said, Cain, he says, why are you angry? And if you read it, Cain never dialogued with God. He never talked to God about it. He just went silent. We're dangerous, especially men. We'll go silent. That's dangerous when we go silent, like a submarine. Women are not going to keep silent. Women going Honey, I don't want to talk about it. Yeah, we're going to talk about it. That's my wife, Jess. We're going to talk. Didn't I tell you I didn't want to talk? No, we're going to talk right now. But men will go silent. God asked Cain that probing question. He didn't talk to God about it. Genesis chapter 4. Went to the field. And then the Bible says, Cain, he rose up and he killed his brother. The root cause of murder is anger. He rose up and he killed his brother. Why? Because he was rejected at first. God tried to get him to see why he was angry. He wouldn't talk to God about it. And he let that stuff smolder deep on the inside of him, and it caused him to commit murder. Most young men that are in prison for murder, I guarantee you, if you dig through it, I bet you you'll find anger in the midst of it. That deep-rooted stuff that was never dealt with. Some characteristics: low self-esteem, bitterness, deep-rooted anger, hardness of heart. Proverbs 4:23 says that we should keep our hearts with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. How do you know your heart is hardened? You're cold, you're callous, you're unconcerned about other people. You lose the ability to move with compassion, and it's hard for you to cry. I talked to a young man where I work at. He said, Officer Williams, I haven't cried in years. I said, brother, there's something wrong with that. Somebody say, there's something wrong with that. If you have lost the ability to cry, There's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with that. Amen? Amen. Let's look at some causes, some cures. We talked about the cause of shame. We looked at some characteristics. But God always has a cure. Amen? He is still, even if I don't understand it, he's still the great physician. I don't understand everything about him, but he's still the great physician. Let's look at some cures for shame. Number one, I got down here. Listen, confession. Can you say that? Confession. It's a cure. God gave me a couple of quotes. Let me read this quote to you. Listen, confession is having the courage to tell God what he already knows. Here's another one. Confession, listen, is having a heart-to-heart conversation with God, knowing that when you are finished, you will walk away feeling, listen, cleansed and not condemned. Cleansed and not condemned. God just simply wants us to talk to him. James 5 and 16 says that we should confess our faults. NIV says confess your sins one to another that you can be healed. In essence, confession, God says, listen, talk to me. Somebody say, talk to me. When he asked Adam, Adam, where are you? God said, listen, talk to me. Cain, why are you angry? Talk to me. Cain, where's your brother? Now, we know God knew where his brother was. The eyes of the Lord, they're in every place, beholding the good and the evil. Cain, talk, where's your brother? Talk to me. Cain was still angry. Am I my brother's keeper? You know something was wrong with, you know something was wrong with the boy. He got sarcastic with the Old Testament God. There's something wrong with that boy. Am I my brother's? Boy, because he didn't play. Old Testament, he didn't play. Thank God for Christ. Am I my brother's keeper? Cain, where's your brother? Talk to me. What have you done? Talk to me. How many of us remember Hagar? She was with Abraham, had a baby by Abraham. She got puffed up. She started mocking Sarah. Sarah said, Abraham, guess what? She gots to go. Yeah, I said that, gots to. Yeah, I said it. I didn't articulate that right. She got to go. Abraham, she got to go. She got to hit the dough. Well, Sarah, you gave me to her. I don't care what I did. She got to get out of here. And she was thrown out, she and Ishmael. And then the Lord, listen, when she was thrown out, she was crying. The Lord asked her, he said, Hagar, what ails you? Talk to me. Somebody say, talk to me. That's what God wants us to do. God wants us to talk to him. Sometimes, wives, your husband don't want to talk. Can we shut down as men? You don't want to talk? You go to talk to God about it. I don't know what it is about us shutting down. We just shut down. But y'all women, y'all ain't going to shut down. Now, we want to talk about it. Listen, and if you don't want to, a woman, if you don't want to talk about it, I'm going to tell somebody else about it. Woo! I know that's right. I know that's right, man. I don't want to talk about it, man. How many times, honey, you drove over Elder Buzz and Sister D? Drove over the house. Oh, yeah. Just out of, what? Elder Buzz, man, pull me on the carpet, man. For Lord, eh? And D was so merciful. I could hide under her. I couldn't hide under Elder Buzz. What you say, Pastor Charles? Amen. Confession is the cure. See, listen, I'm saving y'all a lot of money. Some folks, listen, and it's good, Pastor Rod, you're good. You go to them psychologists, they're going to charge you. They're going to charge you to lay down on that couch. They're going to charge you. You know what they're going to charge you for? And they're going to get you, okay, tell me, what's wrong? Talk about it. Big old leather couch, lay you right down and you go to talking. God already knows about it. He says, talk to me. Talk to me. Now, sometimes we do need help. Like the Beatles says, we can get by with a what? With a little help from my friends. Yeah, we need some help. When God raised us up and we still have the grave clothes on, Lazarus, and Jesus told Lazarus' friend, he said, told his friends, take the grave clothes off of him. So we do need some help. Amen? But God just wants us to talk to him. The second thing is humility. Humility. It's not one of my greatest virtues. Am I right, Jesse? You weren't supposed to agree with me. I told you women gonna tell it, man. He ain't as humble as you think he is. No, it's not one of my greatest virtues. But I tell you what, God has worked with me to such a degree. When his presence come up on my heart, I know his presence. I know his presence on my heart. See, because listen, it's humility or humiliation. Which one do you want? Humility or humiliation? The words sound the same, do they not? The difference is that with humility, humility is a voluntary basis wherein you humble yourself. You bring yourself under. With humiliation, I'm not going to humble myself, so pride brings you down or brings us down. Humility has the promise that if I humble myself, 1 Peter 5:6, under the mighty hand of God, then God can raise us back up. Where in humiliation, there's no promise to be raised back up. Hello. There's no promise. You know, humiliation, you fall because of pride. And then humiliation, listen, it takes us down, keeps us down, keeps us in condemnation, gives us a song to sing, I have fallen and I can't get up. That's humiliation. But humility, you always have the promise that God will raise you back up. Listen, in due time. It's not one of my greatest virtues, but I know the presence of God when he's upon my heart. I need a little bit more of that humility. We all do, amen? And the people of God said what? Amen. He said amen. Amen. Some cures for shame. We talked about what? Confession, humility. I didn't get to tap into this one in the last service, but I want to tap in. Listen, not only the love of God, but the revealed love of God. And there is a difference. Somebody said there is a difference with the love of God and the revealed love of God. See, it's one thing for God to say that he loves you and it goes to our head and it really doesn't affect us. It's another thing, listen, when he says that he loves us and listen, and he reveals his love to us. When he reveals his love to your heart, that's a whole different thing. How many of us remember the prodigal son? Huh? We know the prodigal. He's in his father's house. He knew when he was in his father's house, listen, he knew that he was loved because the father revealed his love to him in the house. Now, I can't stay in my dad's house, see, because I got to get out and bust a move. So he busted a move, and the Bible says the father divided unto them. Not only him, but the elder brother and everybody else that was connected, he divided his inheritance. When that boy left the father's house, it got bad on him. The economy went bad, man. It went bad. He knew he was loved while he was in the house. Listen, he knew he was loved while he was outside of the house because he began to reminisce and reflect on, man, I had it going on in my daddy's house. As a matter of fact, he tried to lower the standard of his father because he says, perhaps I can go back and be a servant. And that boy knew, listen, when he went back to the father's house, he knew he was going to be loved when he came back. It's the revealed love of God. It's the revealed love of God that keeps us. Because once he reveals his love to you, once he reveals it, are y'all listening to me? I said, once God drop back the curtains of your mind and reveals his love to you, you may doubt a whole lot of things, but you'll never doubt that he loves you. You won't doubt his love, but it has to come by revelation. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed or lavished on us that we should be called the sons of God. Wherefore the world does not know us because it did not know him. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. What lifted me? Love. Somebody say love.
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 It was love that lifted me. It was the revealed love of God that lifted that boy out of his shame. The revelatory love of God that lifted him. Pastor Tim, you said something, and I got it down here. Psalms 34:8. You said it in the second service. You said, taste and see. Whew! That's confirmation for me. See, you got to taste his love, and then he has to reveal it so you can see it. Let me say that again. See, some of y'all ain't tasting. You don't really know God. Some of y'all this morning, you really don't know God love you. You really don't know that. But once you taste it, then he can cause you to see it. See, Job thought he knew God. And then when you find out at the tail end of Job, he says, my ears heard of you. He says, now my eyes have seen you. Why? God revealed himself to Job. It was the time that the king Uzziah died. That's what Isaiah said. That's when I saw the Lord. Why? He was revealed. The Apostle John, you see him never bowing in the book of John, but in the book of Revelation, you see him bowing. Why? Because now he sees the King of Glory, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the revealed love of God. Not just the love of God, but when it's revealed to you. Has it been revealed to you? How many of you, the love of God has been revealed to you? Can I see a show of hands? It has to be revealed to you, beloved. That'll start removing that shame, because what it says, it doesn't matter what you're in, it doesn't matter where you've been, it doesn't matter how far you've been out there. Listen, when I come back to the Father, I know he's going to love me. And he's going to bring it, he's going to break this condemnation up off me. I'm telling you. Whew, y'all working me this morning. Confession, humility, the revealed love of God, Psalms 34:8, you can write that down. We give you these scriptures not just so you can write something down, but go home and check them out yourself. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blesses the man that trusts in him. The blood of Christ is the cure for shame. The what?
The blood of Christ.
Are y'all with me this morning? The what?
The blood of Christ.
It's a cure for shame. See, it's the blood of Christ. That's our cleansing agent. 1 John 1:7 says that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, that the blood of Jesus, it cleanses it. The blood of Jesus does what?
Cleanses.
It does what? Y'all convince me. The blood of Jesus will do what? Whew, Lord. I think David knew something about that cleansing. David said, Lord, if you wash me, I'll be whiter than snow. Whew. Wash me, and I'll be what? Whiter than snow. He said, cleanse me with hyssop. David knew something about it. My God, the blood of Christ. See, the blood of Christ, listen, it has a voice. It still speaks. It's at the mercy seat of God, and it still speaks on our behalf. Because, listen, it was the blood of Abel. God said, listen, the blood of your brother is crying from the ground. And if the blood of Abel speaks, you know what? The blood of Christ, it still speaks. I said the blood of Christ speaks, beloved. That blood that gives us strength from day to day, it will never... What? Somebody says old school in here. I said the blood that gives us strength from day to day, it will never... Let me say it again. I said the blood that gives us strength from what? From day to day, it will what? Never. It never loses power. Never loses power. The blood of Christ, because it deals with our sins, which are upward, our transgressions, with our outward, and our iniquities that are inward, which is inward, covers us. Last but not least, some cures for shame. Confession, humility, the revealed love of God, the blood of Christ, and forgetfulness. Somebody say forgetfulness. Forgetfulness. I can see clearly now. I can see all obstacles. Some of the dark clouds. But it's going to be a bright, bright, sunshiny day. I think I can make it now. All of the bad feelings have. Here is the rainbow I've been. And it's going to be a. It's going to be a bright, sunshiny. Forgetfulness. Genesis chapter 41. We're going to be closing out. Genesis chapter 41. We know the plight of Joseph, all that he went through. Boy got sold. He had brothers that hated on him. He needed to be sold, really, because God was dealing with some pride in Joseph's life, really. So God used all that to scrape the pride out of him. Went to Egypt. Went to Potiphar's house. God said he prospered. The scripture says he prospered because the Lord was with him. In Potiphar's house, had a hoochie mama after him. Y'all laughing. Some of y'all know about them hoochie mamas, don't you? Yeah, Pastor, this is my secret shame. I like hoochie mamas. He gonna catch you. No country song guy said, I like my women just a little on the trashy side. But Hoochie Mama tried to chase him down, and he resisted her. Came to Genesis chapter 41. The Bible says right before the famine hit, God blessed Joseph with two sons. We're talking about forgetfulness. Blessed Joseph with two sons. The first son, listen, this is good. The first son, Joseph named him Manasseh, which means, listen, making to forget. And then his second son was named Ephraim, which means doubly fruitful. Isn't that amazing? Now, I believe with all of my heart that Joseph really never forgot what his brothers did to him. But I believe that in the process of time, God got the venom out of his heart. Is that right, Pastor Rock? Got the venom out. Because God knew he was going to be the man in charge. And if he'd have had all that mess in him when his brother showed up, brother, it's off with your hands. Yeah, you're going to sell me. I told you I had them dreams when I was a teenager. I'm 30 years old now. It's about 15 years later. Didn't I tell you I was going to be the man in charge? But God got it all out of him. He said God helped him to forget it. In essence, God got the venom out. Donnie Watson was telling me after the first service, she said that her grandfather had a snake biting kit. And she said if a snake would bite you, in that snake biting kit, first of all, they had to cut you where the bite was, and they had what were called suckers. You put suckers, and they sucked all the venom out so that you wouldn't die. That's what God did with Joseph. That was his cure. It was God in the process of time that took all of that mess out of him. How many of us still today, we got a whole lot of mess on the inside? Don't show hands. Don't show your hands. I got something in me. Thank God for his word. But God wants to take it out. But listen, it's the process of time. It's the process of time. It's where our hearts can become tender before God and says, yeah, God, it's me. I'm standing in the need of prayer. Amen. How many of you have been blessed this morning? Hallelujah. That's what Joseph, perhaps if Joseph was living, he would have started singing. I can see clearly now the bana, 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 bana. I can see all. Had me blind, but it's gonna be a I like that second verse. I think I can make it now. The bana, 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 bana. All of the bad feelings have bum, 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 bum. Here is the I've been it's gonna be a bright. Hallelujah. Let's give God a hand. Thank you, Lord. No, you stand up and let's give the Lord a hand. It's not about us. It's all about him. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead and lift your hands in his presence and give God a praise. Go ahead and bless his name. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Praise your name, Jesus. Done?
I'm not going to sing the second verse, okay? I can see clearly now. That's what happened when I got some glasses. Kind of felt like I was going a little blurry, and all of a sudden I could see clearly. God wants you to see beyond your shame. He wants you to see his love. I want you to see his forgiveness. He didn't cover one of the points on the first of his notes, but Ephesians 1 says, we're accepted in the beloved. That's where our strength comes from. My dad and mom especially my dad, used to say, stop bending over, straighten up, and stop shuffling the feet. Straighten up, put the shoulders back. Would you do that for me? Straighten up, put your shoulders back. You don't have to look down any longer. You don't have to, you can catch the eye contact now. You don't have to walk around like this any longer, ashamed of what's happened, because you're accepted in him. Everything you and I do is not acceptable to him, but we are accepted in him. So I can lift up my head, and I can meet your eyes, and you can meet my eyes. I don't have to bend over any longer. See, that's what God came to do today. Not just go to church, have a service. He came to set you and me free from the giant. Took a great stone and you threw it at Goliath today, and the giant of shame's coming down. And I pray that you walk in the freedom of Jesus Christ this week and from this point on. Don't let that giant win. Condemnation be gone. Guilt be gone. Shame be gone. We're accepted in Jesus Christ because of His blood, because of His love. We humble ourselves. We will not wait for humiliation. We humble ourselves before you, living God, and set us free. Jesus, we love you today. Thank you for visiting us. Thank you for using this man of God, a pastor who works in the marketplace, pastoring people. Thank you for speaking to us. It wasn't Charles speaking to us today. It was you speaking to us through Charles. And we receive your word today. And in the name of Jesus, even as David came against Goliath, we come in the name of Jesus and deal with this giant called shame. It will no longer rule us. Uncles have done certain things, aunts have done certain things, and we haven't even done it, but we're ashamed because of what they have done, and we're linked to them. But even that shame is going to be broken today, Lord. We're going to walk free from this place. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. But buddy, I tell you, I heard God today. I heard God today. We needed that, folks. We needed an outpouring today. It's great to have a drink today. We're going to dismiss you in just a second, and we have about 25 kids, 16 families that we're going to be dedicating to the Lord in the great room. So if you are those families that have registered your children to be dedicated to the Lord, would you just exit right now and meet us in the great room? And for those of you who need some prayer, there will be some individuals down here to pray with you. We're going to be in there offering the children to the Lord. But have a great day. Go in God's freedom. If you don't know Jesus today, please come down before you leave. Let us pray with you so that you can be introduced to Him. God bless you today. Say thank you to the nursery workers. When you pick up your kids, they've done a great job by taking care of your kids today. God bless you. God bless you.